Good morning, and I too greet each one of you in Jesus' name. It's good to be here together, and thank you for the prayers that you have already given for this day. I trust that you have, and for your prayers this morning. Certainly feel a need of the Spirit of God in my own heart this morning and in this place. Last Sunday's message, we looked at what is the cross for Christ. We talked about what is the cross. We talked about what was the cross for Christ. And this morning, I would like to look at the second message, which is a interconnected message. And that is, the title is, what is the cross for me? What is the cross for me? Turn with me to Mark chapter 8, because I think we need to just go and look at Scripture right in the outstart to even establish the fact that there is a cross that I'm being requested to take up, because I believe that this is, oh my, I don't know where to start, because I'll put my closing comments at the beginning, but this message, I believe, is what separates us from Christianity in the broad sense. And I don't say that to lift us up, but I think we need to acknowledge this foundation of our belief and our understanding. Mark chapter 8 and verse 34, sorry, I was in Matthew, says, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. What did Jesus mean by that? What did he mean by that? This morning I want us to consider the question, what is the cross for me? What is the cross for you? This question begs to be answered, this, dear friends, this morning. What is the cross? That is the overriding question. You see, there are people this morning on this earth who are giving their very life for their faith. There really is. There are people who are this morning in prison, in confinement, in severe distress, because of their faith. But this morning, as you and I name the name of Christ, we want to receive what the cross of Christ brings us. But I ask you this morning, is there a cross for me as well here? And what is it? Let's look at some more of these. Let's just read this entire 6 or 8 verses here. Start up at 28. And they answered, well, let me start with 27. Jesus asked his disciples, saying unto them, whom do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Peter answered and said unto him, thou art the Christ. And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and of the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And as he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. And when he had called his people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. as Jesus asked his disciples. We go many times to this portion of scriptures. He asked his disciples, whom do you say that I am? And he received that answer from Peter, thou art the Christ. And immediately, his attention, Christ, as soon as that statement was given to him, his attention turned to the cross. Because in this scripture, and that's what we looked at in last Sunday's message, he charged them, don't tell anyone, and then he began to teach them. Now, I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to die. And he began to give them those details, and Peter said, what are you saying? You're not going to do that. You are the Son of God here on earth. And Jesus said, Peter, you're being Satan in this. Get thee behind me, Satan. He rebuked Peter and said, you are savoring those things that are of men. All you can think about is in the world where men's minds run, not where God's run. Jesus said, and then he continued on. He said, not only that, but I want you to understand something else. If you want to follow me, you have a cross to bear as well. You have a cross to bear as well. And this morning, I really would like to understand more fully myself and together, what is that cross? How does that impact me today? And how does it impact you today? I have 5 points I'd like to look at. And the first one I want to look at is this. The instrument that Christ, that shed Christ's blood for me. Let's just say that. For me, I have in my notes for the remission of sin. I needed to start there. Because what is the cross for me? This cross, as we're going to look at it this morning, and I'm going to preach right over the babies, that's all right. But I'd like us to go along with this morning. The cross this morning has at least two distinct roles for me. The first one, and one that is celebrated and recognized by Christianity today, is that the cross was the instrument that brought the possibility of the remission of my sins. The blood of Christ was shed upon it. The blood of Christ was shed upon this, and that is our first point this morning. That this cross for you, for me, the cross, what is the cross for me? The cross for me is the instrument upon which the blood was shed for the remission of my sin. You see, when Peter told Jesus that he was the Christ, he was recognizing that Jesus was the Messiah. That's what he was saying. He is the Christ. The Messiah is another word for that. The Savior of the world, the Redeemer, the one who would save his people from their sins. And Jesus knew that for him to be the promised Messiah, he needed to be hung on that cross. There needed to be a cross, an instrument of death upon which he would shed his own blood for the remission, for the washing away of my sins. Hallelujah. For the washing away of your sins, for the cleansing. That is what the cross means for me. This morning, as I consider the cross of Christ, I recognize it is the gift of God to me. It is the gift of God to me. And we praise him and we sing songs. This morning, our brother chose one. We sing songs that recognize the cross and the blood of Christ. And we sing those songs that commemorate that on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. And we sing those kind of songs. And so as I already noted this morning, we see much energy and discussion being given and a much attention being given to a cross, and it is being touted and preached over this land, and it should be, because the cross should be exhorted, because the one that shed his life blood on that cross is our Savior. And we exalt this morning, may I say, we exalt this same cross. I want to look at some other dimensions of this cross that sometimes people will accuse us of turning this into some kind of works. But I asked you, what did Jesus mean when he said, take up your cross and follow me? What did he mean? And so we will never minimize the place of this cross and the blood that was shed there. We never will. But you see, it is more than just that cross. It is more than just that cross. It is more than just this on the wall of my house that says, yes, I believe there was a cross where a Savior once hung. It is more than just this around my neck, and I could hang it there for you. It's more than that, you see. It's going to be more than that, that commemorates this moment when the blood was shed. Important moment that it was, but it's more than that. And so many times, I believe, what has happened in our circles, in our society, and even into our own lives, is that we continue to lift up this cross, and we don't understand what comes around it. And I'd like to try to look at that this morning. I asked you, what is the cross? What do the words of Jesus mean for us here? And so, I'd like to look at four more points. I have a total of five. And you'll notice here in this little diagram I've drawn, and I'm going to put here this is my birth. This is your birth, right here. We're part of God's creation. Here we are. Tim was born. And as a child, you know, let me just bridge it. Let's go back into that Sunday school lesson a little bit. One of the ways that parents lay up for their children is when, as this child is 2 and 3 and 5 and 12, he can begin to see this cross and understand it. I guess what I'm trying to show is that there is, as a child is brought into this world, every child, every person. That's a big statement, and I don't know what to do with it all, because I know I'm going to be going into a city where there's 15 million people, Lord willing, by next Saturday. And it's doubling in population every decade. Yeah, I said that, every decade. It's been its history for the past, I don't know how many decades. And do those people have... But let's just understand this morning that you and I are brought to the cross in some point in our lives. We're going to have to choose. We need to choose what we will do with it. And so that's what we see here in this diagram. And I'll go into that later. But I want to come back here. And I'm going to start with another one. Maybe I'm going to change this one in a moment. But the cross, as a child comes into this world, and as he moves in through life, and as he moves into accountability, as he moves into understanding, as he moves into that, and especially as he has the privilege and opportunity to be sitting in these kinds of environments, he recognizes that there's a cross. And he recognizes that there is sin. And he recognizes everything that we talked about here in this first point. That there is blood that's been shed that he needs to reach out to and accept or reject. There's a decision to be made. And this graph shows someone who has come to that place and has chosen that. Okay. And continues on. But I want to come back here, because... And I think we're going to start to move into that second area. What is the cross? We want to define now. Now that we've understood, and last Sunday's message spent a lot more time around this cross and and what Christ did for us on that cross. And so I'm going to move on from that. So we're going to enter into the second point of this message. What is the cross for me? And I want to go to number one. It is the cross for me is reached by voluntary choice. The cross for me is reached by voluntary choice. Now look at verse 34 again of Mark 8. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Christ wants us to understand. You see, as we think about this message, Jesus is saying, take up your cross. What I believe he's trying to teach us as he continues on here, he says, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself. Whosoever will come after me. Christ wants us to understand that there are choices out there. There are other options. And furthermore, it is a personal responsibility to make a choice. No one can make that choice for us. See, these are important points because this cross that we take up, and as we move into life here, will place upon us some demands. Some of the same tests that Christ faced as he went to the cross will be ours. They will be. And this morning, unless we really choose this cross of Christ, we're not going to make it. It's not going to work out for us. And that's why Jesus said, whosoever will may come. That question, that statement can mean that it is for all, but it also means it is something that I must choose. It is not placed upon me. And so this is a choice, brothers and sisters, this morning. And we have a personal responsibility to make that choice. No one can make it for us. Our parents can't make it. Our teachers can't make it. Our preachers, apostles, and teachers, and evangelists, they can't make it for us. It cannot be done. It is my choice. I have a say in the matter. What I desire matters here. You see, what I really want in my own heart matters at this moment. It really matters. It matters. What I seek after, I will find. If I choose the broad road where many are, where many can be found running after the excesses of life, I can do so. I can do so. The choice is mine. You see, this may seem like a simple choice, but it seems that at times this concept becomes blurred. You see, we are not born into the cross life. We're not naturally more able to handle the cross life than others. The cross life requires of us the same. It is the same. Sometimes we hear the statement, well, you were born in that world and you just sort of, I'm not even sure if I'm ready to say that there's some truth to that. Because the cross of Christ exacts the same price upon our lives. You see, the cross really becomes our own. Yes. You see, the cross really becomes our own when we understand the options available to us. You know what? We have to become mature enough to understand that there really is a life of sin that I can indulge in. And we have to become mature enough to understand that I need the blood of Christ on my life. You see, the cross really becomes our own when we understand the options available to us. And in the middle of those options, we reach out and choose the cross. That's when it becomes our own. Do we understand the seriousness, the price of that choice? This morning, I don't stand before you having a full understanding of that. I'm looking into it, and I know I need this cross upon my life. I need to understand that better. Let's go to point number two. The cross for me, I'm going to go up here. The cross for me requires surrender, humility, and obedience. Notice in verse 34, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself. I don't know how to get around that statement. Let him deny himself and follow me and follow after our Christ. Let's just go to Philippians 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in, I'm not going to be able to quote them. Philippians chapter, we need to go there and just read those verses. Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, and so many times we read these verses with our focus upon Christ, and rightly so. He is the one who we still struggle. We don't understand the fullness of what the cross cost him. But this morning, what the writer is endeavoring to do is help us to understand that we too need this mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then we just move sort of into like a little thought about Christ. Who? Christ, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But no, we come back. Let this mind be in you, just like Christ, who, being in the form of God, verse 7, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. See, I see Jesus teaching the disciples here beforehand. He hadn't got to the cross yet. They didn't understand what the cross was. And Peter said, "What are you talking about? You're not going to do this." But Jesus was teaching the disciples that there is. Prior to this cross, in my experience, as I reach out and make this choice, no one comes up to the cross proudly with their head thrown back and their shoulders. I'm sorry, I'm sort of switching between the two thoughts here. The two main concepts of the message is, first of all, what the blood of Christ and the cross means for my salvation. And the second one is, what price does the cross exact upon me? But I'm switching back to this first cross. No one comes up to this cross with their head thrown back in there, but they come to it on their knees. They come to it in surrender. They come to it in humility. They come to it because they need the blood of Christ. And that is so true. And so we must understand that. But further, we must understand that for us to take up this cross, we are going to have the same surrender, humility, and obedience that Jesus had to take up his cross. The same surrender, humility, and yes, I said, obedience. Obedience. Obedience to that cross. It is... See, we could preach this message under the theme of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You see, is Jesus my Savior and Lord, or is he just my Savior? And some people say, well, if you say you want, well, wait a minute, you know, what's this Lord thing all about? I mean, see, Lordship speaks of surrender and obedience. And so now some people would like, and it happens. I can talk to you of some folks that struggle this morning because it's thrown in their face that we're just a bunch of works people. We never move away from this central figure of this cross of Christ, the shed blood of Christ for my salvation. But we recognize that Jesus is teaching us here that the same surrender, humility, and obedience that he had to take up to take on the cross, he's asking the same of us. He's asking the same of me. As we grapple with what this cross cost our Redeemer, simultaneously, we must grapple with what will it cost me? What will it cost me? And so, I believe that I needed to start here with point number one, but I'd like to change it now to point number three. Do you understand why? I believe that these two points are a prerequisite for us receiving not only that salvation and the blood of Christ and the remission of sin, but for us also to be able to comprehend and fulfill the desire of Christ in us also, the command of Christ in us also taking up our own cross. And so I think I can see that and I can change that. So let's go on to our fourth point this morning. Thinking about what is the cross for me? What is the cross for me? The cross for me requires bearing an instrument of death. And so this morning, this is the critical point in our message. This is the critical point in our message. Because I believe that for many of us, and we have understood and we have grasped this important point in our lives. But Jesus is saying, if you're going to follow me, you're going to need to take up your cross. I'll just read to you some other verses. Romans 6:6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Galatians 5:24, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Those aren't new verses. They're not new thoughts to us. But this morning, can we see anew the plan that God has put in place? That we this morning are called to carry, to bear an instrument of death in our lives. See, I believe that Jesus experienced these two points. Jesus chose this cross. And also, he experienced this point of surrender and humility and obedience. The scriptures teach us that. And he experienced this point as well. But for him, the cross was an instrument of physical death because there wasn't sin that was being put to death there. And there, that's where there is a distinction between you and I this morning. Our flesh, our body, my physical body that you see standing here is not being put on this cross. But my spiritual body is. My flesh is. That's where we begin to divide between the spiritual and the physical. But the flesh and blood that you see here is not. And yet my flesh, that carnal part of me, is being put on that cross. Yes, we are called to die. There is death experience that will be with us And I think about this terminology that we have sometimes. We talk about someone and we say, well, that's his cross to bear. Have you ever used that language or you've heard that language? Well, that's a real cross for him. And we talk about that. You say someone's cancer is a cross, or you say the loss of a loved one is a real cross to bear, or someone who is I think of a person who is paralyzed from his neck down, and well, that just seems like it really fits. That is a real cross to bear. But this morning, there's a problem with that terminology, because the one who has experienced this blood and the ones who have chosen not to experience the same crosses. And so we have a problem. We have a problem this morning, because that's not what Jesus is talking about. Now, it is true that if I'm paralyzed from my neck down, for me to lay down and surrender and humbly accept God's will for my life, that is a cross that I'm working with in my own heart, that I'm dealing with in my flesh. I can understand it from that standpoint, but we use those words too freely. Because the cross isn't about those things which we, that all of mankind experiences, but rather the cross is, well, what is the cross? I'm going to ask you that question here shortly. I'd like some answers. So then what is it? You see, those things which I just discussed, that cancer, those accidents, that's just a result of the curse. And all man is underneath that curse. We're all experiencing that. It is not cross-bearing as Christ defined it. Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. What does this instrument of death kill? Any thoughts? Okay, natural desires. Kills the me spirit. Thank you for that. Puts to death our Adamic nature.
It slays the part of me that wants to protect the individual interest of my body members.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what does some of this look like?
It also takes on a lot of men run through suffering, but Christ is saying we accept the suffering.
It takes on, I missed the word there.
In other words, it changes the way of leading to our suffering.
Yes.
Spiritual man says allocate.
What do you have? What can I learn from this? What is there in this for me? That is a cross. Gave up the condo in Florida for Bangladesh. Service. What this world, yes.
What you just said is so true, is that if I'm dying of cancer,
Yes. Amen. Jesus is saying, take up my cross. Take up the cross and follow me. He said in Luke 9:23, and he said to all them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. And he adds one word here. And take up his cross, what? Daily. Take up his cross daily. That's a significant word. Because it tells me that this isn't a once and done experience. But that this is something that I move out in voluntarily, in humility and obedience and surrender today. And says, Lord, what's the cross going to cost of me today? And being willing to allow that to cut into my life. I failed in one area of this. And I'm sure I failed more than one. But let me just, one came to mind as I was studying this. This week, I was up here at the Verizon store. I didn't really want to go do this, but it needed done. So I stopped in. It was something to do with my wife's phone. And it was just one of those days that, okay, yeah, let's make it fit. And so we got there and I walked in. And lady I'd never seen before behind the counter. We're in there a lot, seems like, with our business phones and those kinds of things. And told her what I was looking for. And she's okay. I need your license. And she started to do her thing on the computer. She said, I need your license. And I said, oh, I left it at the office. But my next question was, why? Oh, I need photo identification. I said, really? I said, it's news to me. We've been doing this for 10 years. Probably have 20 lines with you. I've never been asked this question before. Can I give you our business ID number? No, I can't do anything without photo identification. I said, well, I've just never had this experience before. She said, well, everyone else is doing it wrong then. I can't do anything unless you have state-issued photo identification. See, as I walked out of that out of there, I did not raise my voice. But I said, I know you're doing this for my protection. I said, I guess you're doing this for my protection, but I've never had to do this before. Well, okay. And I turned away and I walked out, realizing that, you know. But then I thought about it. As I walked away from there and as I left that place, I thought, what does the cross have to teach me in that moment? The cross teaches me that I am peaceable, that I'm humble. See, I threw my weight around that a little bit. And that I just am willing to accept. I just somehow need to show that life and heart of Christ in that moment. That's what the cross is about to accomplish in my life. And I came up short. What else does the cross, what does it look like? What is the natural man with the cross weighing down on it? What does it look like? And one of the reasons that I'm looking at this subject is because I want to talk about this with my Bangla friends. I need it for myself. We need it here this morning, absolutely, more than they do, I believe. But I would like to think about that because they will have an aspect of this that we don't. And they will say, it is costing me, it could cost me my life. It certainly has cost me position in community. And it certainly has cost me position in my family. And there's some of you here that can maybe say that. But for most of us, when we choose this cross, we get the full support and blessing of everybody around us. But I still believe that even as they wrestle with that part of this cross, there is another part that they too must wrestle with. See, they have a choice to make whether or not they go down to the tea shop at night and watch that movie. Or they too have smartphones now. They're all over the country. And so what does the cross of Christ do in that situation? Brothers, how are you working with this? And how, what are you calling those who you serve? This is going to be the pastor's conference. Those who you serve. What are you all doing with it? How does the cross of Christ, and so I ask us this morning, how does it? You see, the cross of Christ, I believe, what does the cross kill? Whatever this world makes a God. That's what it kills. And that's not an easy thing to say. I don't like that statement, because I'm not sure how far I'm into the world. You see what I'm saying? And this morning, that's a sobering thought that I must reckon with, and you must too. The cross kills the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. They're not of the Father, but they're of this world. And the cross, that's why it's so important, because I make these choices and then I realize that over here, throughout my life here, throughout this life, and you'll see that the cross, the bearing of this cross does not fade away until suddenly we reach this place of death and it's brought to an end. But I've heard old men talk, and I've heard them say, I realize that here, today, at my old age, I need this cross. I need this blood on my life, because I realize that the cross experience still has so much to kill in me. This is in tune. Eternity, future, and past. I don't know. I just wanted to sort of see. Here it is. There's my life. And whether I have made this my choice, I don't even have a graph that shows someone who rejects this. But as I've made this my choice today, I don't know whether I'm right here in my journey or whether I'm right here. I don't know. And neither do you. The cross is going to cut into my everyday life. It really is. It's going to change. It is going to, I don't know that I would really pull anything back as far as words that went out of my mouth in that conversation that I had. But my body language suggested that I was not pleased. And I actually had an opportunity to allow that woman to sort of throw her weight around and just show that I could accept that. Okay. I actually had an opportunity to go further than just withhold my tongue, but to actually show Christ. Because there's a lot of people who could hold their tongue. And so this morning, as I think about the cross, what all does it affect? Well, I tell you, it will affect my technology. It'll affect my cars. That's right. I choose not to pull up in an Escalade, because the cross says that is part of the God of this world. And so I pull in my Ford or my Chevy or whatever it is. And I know I can take those things and build them. See, I can take that Chevy and I can turn it into the show truck of the area. Well, that possibility exists. But not when this cross is here. Not when this one's here. Because I have chosen, as I have received, what we need to understand this morning, that you can't separate this. But rather, as I have taken this, and this remains the pivotal, the high point, in the center, extending above and beyond all of my life, the shed blood of Christ, the remission of sins, salvation, eternity, it's all here. But it's connected with, if you want this cross, you also must take up your cross and follow me and deny yourselves. And so that means that there are many things that I would enjoy fleshly, but I lay down. See, and brothers and sisters, this morning, some of us are going to be at somewhat different places in all of that. And we have some understandings in church life that bring some direction to that, because that's really what that's about. What our decrees for to keep, when they move into those practical areas, that they're saying that we believe this, and we believe that it must be shown in our lives, and here's some ways that those principles play out into application. And so are we willing to accept that kind of obedience? And in the many areas that go beyond those examples that are in the decrees. Decrees isn't meant to be a book that entails all of Christian life. That's not what it's about. And so those are some things that you and I must face this morning. I must face them. They will affect what I watch. They will affect what I do. The cross will affect what I say. The cross will affect how I present myself. The cross will affect how I deal with life trials and life tests. It will. Because it says over here that I have understood that it requires obedience, surrender, and humility. That's the cross of Christ upon my life. Number five and last. I'm sorry. Let me pray. Very quickly. And we could have had some more points here. But I actually had this thought of, again, recognizing what the cross gives us in eternity. You see, our cross and our test doesn't end until death. And then we enter into that eternity. But our eternal life, it begins here. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that we enter into Christ here. I don't want to remove that. I want to be clear on that. But the point that I came back to and chose to stay with, that the cross for me enables, provides the nutrients for new life to spring up. The cross provides the nutrients for new life to spring up. You see, this cross takes care of a sin problem that I cannot take care of. But this cross brings about the death that brings about the resurrection in my life. You see, until there's death here and there and here and there, there isn't nutrients for that new life to spring up. And I believe that Romans 6:4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. You see, Christ could not arise until he died. And this morning, as the cross brings about that humility, surrender, and obedience, and death into my life, the death of the old man. And Scripture's just full of, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Paul says, put off the old man and put on the new man. And so we see that in that death, there is the possibility for new life to spring up. New life cannot spring up until there is death. And I believe that God desires in each one of us this morning that the cross would bring about that resurrection, that glorious moment, those glorious moments when people can see an almighty God carrying out a work in my life. May God bless each one of us. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we come before you this morning, and we thank you for your word, and I pray, O God, that as we've looked into it this morning, that we have understood it properly, that we have taught truth this morning. I pray, O God, that as we have considered the cost of your cross last Sunday, and as we have considered the cross today, that we would be willing to take up this cross and follow after you. I pray that you would forgive us where we have failed so many times. And I pray that we would be willing as we go from this place and as we walk into today and yes, even into this moment of service at the old people's home, that we would understand that the cross is asking this of us. Are we willing to become a servant like our Christ? And I pray as we go into tomorrow that we would consider our lives and that we would consider our opportunities, our work, our situations that we face. And I pray that the cross of Christ would continue to do its work, putting to death those spirits, putting to death those carnal desires, putting to death. And I pray, oh God, that out of that death would rise up a new life, a new expression, some new obedience to you and to your word. And I pray that we could be the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom we are called to shine as lights in the world. So I pray that you would give us that grace and that strength and bless us this day yet. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.